button and it worked. All right, we're going to finish what we started last week. I didn't know we were going to continue it, but it just felt that there was more in it. And last week, just to review real quickly, we were talking about that. Well, we started it off by saying, let's get down to a human level. We all have our own expressions, right? Expressions are in our face, which can be good and bad. Expressions can be in our body language, which could be good or bad. All right. Expression, even more importantly, can be in our words and our tones of our words. Expressions, they're so important. We know we were designed by God, but do you know the Creator has his expressions too? And that we were finding that his expressions, fully expressed, if you see this or hear it, is through a person named Jesus. So for me not to be aware of Jesus, I will never really fully see God or hear God's full expressions. There's no way around it. You need Jesus. And we went through John 1, which we'll review in just a minute. But I want to go a little further today that expressions are so important, but expressions also lead to experiences. They kind of go hand in hand. When I say spaghetti and peanut butter, predictability, Hallmark Channel, right? I don't know, predictability. But they go hand in hand. These go hand in hand in a humanity of us physically right now, but also spiritually with God. That if you're seeing the full expression of God, which is Jesus, you're going to at some point have to experience God as well too in the matter. And we'll see and breathe that out real more. Let's just review John 1. We asked you for some homework. It'd be nice if you read the chapter, just studied it, or just kind of digested it. That was great. It's such a powerful chapter. John, as you know, is one of the beloved apostles' disciples. He was very intimate with Christ more than any other disciples. So he probably saw some more depths than the other disciples did. We learned at the beginning of John 1, God's word created. God has a word. It created. It was powerful. God's word is Jesus. And in that, we learn further that that word transformed things through light. So it was being transformed. It created the earth, the world, everything around it. And then we get into the New Testament more, then the light was created into a lamb, right? And then the lamb said, "Come follow me." John 1 is a great depiction of our journey now when you begin to realize the expression of God in your life. Because we need to know who the Word is. It's Jesus. We need to know that John the Baptist was the one who Jesus first announcing that he's on the scene in human flesh form was John the Baptist who was ordained to say, that is the light of the world, but also the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. The first big announcement of God's full expression to the earth. Ooh, I would have loved to be in that moment. And then as we realize this and we realize the beauty of the Lamb of God, of the person of Jesus, what he did when he was here, his expressions of his Father and experiencing him, then we can begin to say, I hear you, because at the end, I see and I hear you, Jesus, because at the end of John chapter 1, as we know, he actually utters the first time in biblical verse, come follow me. If we realize all of this, we can actually hear him say that to us. What's your answer? When we see the full expression of God, we can hear the voice of God. Come, follow me. Let's get back into that John 1. We're still reviewing here. The Word, as you know in the John 1, it says God's Word, and Jesus is the Word. We are a Word-based church, not the only one around. I kind of was tattling on an edge last week and said, please invite me back. Those who have ears to hear, hear. We come and say, I got to come to church to hear the word. which is usually referring to this, right? And that's good. That's good. But we've got to be careful, because if we're just reading the Word and it doesn't lead to the living Word, we're not fully getting the expression of God in our life. The living Word, Greek and Hebrew, logos, is Jesus. And it's hard to wrap. It's like, wait a minute, but we saw him in the flesh. Yeah, but Jesus, God spoke and Jesus became flesh. Just like you speak, you've got to be very much aware that your words carry things. They are containers to carry life or death. The power of the tongue. Just like God, he spoke Jesus. And he is the living Word, is Jesus. The written Word is this. 66 books, whole story of great redemption, so important in our life. But when we read this and digest it, it needs to lead to the living Word. Otherwise, this is a book of just great good ideas. So there's a difference. Many churches get split on the Word, and then they get split on the Spirit of the Word, which is just Spirit. And it's formed denominational splits. You need both. And the enemy has done well to divide that over the years, because then there's no power in the there's either no power because we're just reading scriptures like the Pharisees, and there's no power in what's going on, or we're so super spiritual Christian that we're running circus acts that have nothing to do with God, and the miracles are happening, but things are not pointing to glorifying God. You need both, because that's what Jesus was. Silent in this house. I know. Let's keep going. If studying the Bible does not lead to the fullness expression of God, which is Jesus, you will not fully experience God. You won't fully experience God. The disciples saw the expression of God only on Sundays? No. Daily in Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all those 12. They saw the expression of God in Jesus daily. His teachings, his and healings. It was love in action from Father. They also experienced God personally, because Jesus was divine flesh. He was a divine human being. The disciples saw love expressed through Jesus and had a personal experience in a relationship with him. This is what the enemy doesn't want the church to realize. With him. The living Word was leading them as they went out. Let's talk about it. John 14, 6 through 7. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the light. The truth. In life, no one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, he's talking to his disciples that are close to him, excuse me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Because I'm the expression and the experience you're having with him. God, it's Jesus. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. In John 6, 35, whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. Jesus embodied as God's living Word, carrying the Spirit within him to speak truth and ignite life right here, right now, and forever. When Jesus was on this earth, he was speaking truth, but he was becoming life to those who were hearing it and applying it in their life. We can, as church, rest too much in just speaking truth, and it doesn't really affect our life right here, right now, and into eternity, aka forever. The beauty of Jesus was unfolding through God's expression and the experience of those around Jesus. Just imagine that, being Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all these guys hanging out with Jesus. He's teaching the truth. I only say what my Father says. So they know it's a full expression coming out. And then he's healing. He's transforming lives. The expression. Then they get to hang out with him at night and eat, break bread with him. Just hang out and experience God in the flesh. Personal experience. That's the beauty of Jesus. When we begin to see that, his hands that helped heal, his arms that were wide open to accept anybody that was hurting, that saw him as a loving Savior. The beauty of Jesus that he's a sacrificial lamb that dies for you and me when we didn't deserve it at all. There's the beauty in that. Incredible beauty. So you can see the disciples are all excited, like, wow, we are lockstep with God in the flesh. We're seeing the expression of God's love to humanity with the teaching and the healings. We're hanging out at night. John says, I get to lay my head on his chest. God, I've experienced him personally. And then what? The cross. Wait a minute, Jesus. What do you mean you got to go to a cross and leave us? We've been hanging out for over 3 years. There's good things going on here. Our social media likes are up. I mean, we've got everything going on. And you're leaving us? Jesus basically says in scriptures, to paraphrase, it says Jesus came to lose his life so we may gain back being children of God. Lose, we gain. But you got to hear the disciples saying, if Jesus leaves us, how will we see God and experience God now? And that question is for 2026 on a sunny, snowy day today. I want to focus in on John 17 because it helps answer some of this. John 17 is an intimate prayer between Jesus the Father is all grounded in relationship. You see, when you have an experience, it builds a relationship. It's got to some degree, right? That's what kind of, you always heard the phrase, it's not religion, it's relationship. Well, I mean, the origin of religion is true. It's just organized religion threw it upside down. But there has to be a relationship. Otherwise, we're just, what are we doing here? It's snowing outside. What are we doing here? But it's about relationship. It's grounded in a relationship with God, Jesus and God through the Father. He pays it. Because if this book does not lead to Jesus, then there's really no relationship. You can't have a relationship with 66 books. It's the person of Jesus it leads to. You can't know Jesus without this book. They're mutually exclusive. But they have to lead to each other. So in John 17 is an amazing intimate prayer before Jesus going to the cross. And it builds us that, wait a minute, this is deeper than I think we ever knew between God, the Father, and us. He prays for unity, sanctification, protection, purpose, and eternity. Let's get into John 17. Hey, that worked. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. I'm going to speed through this, but I would encourage you to read this. Digest it at some point. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. This is Jesus talking. So he can give glory back to you. The intimacy, what's going on. For you have given him authority over everyone. We just sang about the name of Jesus earlier, right? He gives eternal life to each one who have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life. Memorize, no. And this is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who was sent to the earth. Jesus continues, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we share before the world began. Back to John 1. God was God, and the Word was the Word. Jesus, before the earth began, before we began, the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world, disciples and others that were affected by the expression experience of God. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. Jesus didn't start his own Jesus International ministry. He knew it was God the Father in and through him because he was God in the flesh. For I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that it came from you, and they believe you sent me. Meaning that he was a full expression and they are experiencing God. My prayer is not for the world, but for those who have given me because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me. So they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. He's going to go to the cross soon. They are staying in this world. See, the disciples like, well, we want to go with you. No, they're staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name, his word, Jesus. Now protect them by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are united. Wow. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that no one was lost except the one who headed for destruction, as the scripture foretold, Judas, aka. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world so that they would be filled with my joy. I have given them to your word. And the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world because there's still things to do here, he's saying, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Wow, there's some amazing ownership there. Children of the Most High God. Jesus is talking to Father God saying, we belong to him. They didn't belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Wait a minute. There's more to do. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one. So important. All be one. Just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me. So we should have an effect of that in our life, right? So they may be one as we are one. He ends it up. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience the perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. That's crazy. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. How intimate is that? A father, and it's crazy. And he finishes, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, expression to experience in them, and I will be in them. Jesus also hoped that his future followers would be united, saying that they should be one as we are one. This unity would offer protection and help them continue to share the divine message. The power in unity through the expression of God and the experience of God is not just so you can be with people that you like and hang out and be similar. The power of Christian unity is under a covering that God has ordained for us to be together so we can actually do what he's called us to do and be protected during the darkened days. So as you have Christianity that wants to be so live in silos, I don't need church, I don't need this, I don't need that, I've got my Bible, I've got this, I'll listen to a podcast, and there's my church. You're not the full bride then. Unity is so powerful, and that unity comes by experiencing God, expression, and in his divine message. How can we still see and hear God's expression and personally experience God? Because Jesus went to the cross. Many of us know he ascended. A divine human ascended into the sky, and he's up at the right hand of the Father right now, praying for you and I before he returns. But how can we be like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John? I can't sit at the foot of Jesus. I have things that will help me learn the expressions of Jesus, which is so vitally important. But how can I experience God too? Two elements before we land the plane on this. I highlighted today because this isn't talking about yesterday. This is today. This is how we can experience. Two elements to highlight today to connect us to God's expressions and experience him. One, the Holy Spirit, part of the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit. He enables us to see and hear God's expressions and experience God. John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus is saying this. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, another, similar to sometimes the Greek means, who will never leave you. Jesus almost like, it's Jesus' ambassador. He's here. He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it's not looking for him, and it doesn't recognize him. Because we're talking about spiritual elements, right? We know that. This is a spiritual element that is in us to work through us. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you once we get to that upper room, if you remember that. Jesus was saying that the same Spirit in him, which expresses his Father through teachings and healings, aka transformation, will also be expressed and experienced in you, but also through you as well too. What are you saying? Paul was very clear, when we surrender our life to Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes a resident in us, we're about to see. It is with us every day. And that is to give us It gives us the clear color vision of how to see the expressions of God in our daily life and certainly experience God in our daily life. Pastor Chris, when I'm talking about experience, am I floating on a cloud? What am I doing? No. How about the presence of God? The presence of God, I'll go with that in a minute. The presence of God should be a daily experience with God. It may not have to happen in a room, which is great, in church. It could happen in your shower. It could happen during your devotion of digesting the word, praying, worshiping, For me, can I be corny? I'm in the presence of God when I'm brushing my teeth sometimes. I'm not joking. It's just, Lord, you're so good. And I'm putting toothpaste on. I'm starting to brush. And then all of a sudden, like, wisdom, different things start coming. I'm in the presence of God. It may not be the choir of heaven opening up and saying, ah, God is speaking. But it could be the Holy Spirit just saying, whoa, that's not my thought. That's your thought. That's a heavenly thought. But it can happen at any point. This is what the church is lacking. It's not just a spiritual experience in the church. That's great. We will have revival. But it starts with you and I individually daily to bring it together in unison to the bride of Christ where it blows the roof off when we actually come to church. Amen. The presence of God. The Holy Spirit. More scripture. Paul was certain about this writing to the church of Corinth. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you, the Holy Spirit? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy. You need to be mindful of that. And you are that temple. We can carry the presence of God in us daily. Two, how are we going to be able to express God and experience God more through Christ, but Christ is not physically in front of us? Second, it's discipleship. Discipleship is to follow Christ. We used to have the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And then a lot of consumerism makes it to one decision, one day, and then they never come back. That decision is daily almost. It's a surrender daily to picking up my cross and following Christ. I have decided. If you've decided, then you're going to be a disciple of Christ. Because without discipleship, we're just a bunch of different boats in the harbor trying not to bump into one another and trying to do our own thing to try and glorify God. But Jesus was pretty good. He was able to disciple disciples very well and left it with us in his good, in the Word, so we can follow this and say, well, what does discipleship mean? A discipleship involves devotion to studying the Bible. These are some, the main mechanics of it, the watering system, we'll say. The discipleship involves devotion to studying the Bible, prayer, and worship. However, let me go back. We've got to be careful, because if we do this and we don't get this, this produces fruit such as spiritual growth and generosity and becoming more like Christ. If we just do this, we gather information. And look what I did today. I spent a whole hour in the Word of God. I was on my knees for 10 minutes. Look what I have done. We got to be careful. Discipleship isn't what you're doing. It's what he's done and wants to continue to grow in you. Because this is not informational building in your system. This should be transformational that produces fruit, such as the spiritual growth. Fruit of the Spirit should be a great indicator if we had any gauge of how our spiritual maturity is growing. None of us are perfect. If you are, I want to meet you. But you should have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness. All these things should be growing in you because your devotion to discipleship continues to grow. Spiritual growth, but you just don't become, is this politically correct? You just fat, dumb, and happy. I know all this stuff. No, you don't just grow. It outpours into you, and it becomes generosity. And then in that, you become more like Christ. Almost sounds like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the disciples. We're being called to be like that. The disciples that Jesus began, the discipleship that Jesus began during this time on earth was to hand down to the 12 disciples and later to the Apostle Paul so that they could continue making more disciples until it gets really bad and we go hide in our bunkers? No, until Jesus returns. It's discipleship. God reveals himself to us through Jesus as we read the Bible. Prayer, and this is part of discipleship, and worship, and we begin to notice back to the beauty of the Lamb of God. That experience we're having from that expression. We also experience God's presence through the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. These elements strengthen our discipleship. Part one's done. No, I'm just kidding. When this begins to drop in you, and you get a taste of being able to see the expressions of God and Jesus and experience his presence in your life, it's, and I'm not all there, but I've been dwelling in a lot of this. The expressions and experiences, they define you into knowing how much God wants to be with you. It's so important. Because we can get so we can get so mechanical in so many discipleship things, and then the fruit is really not growing. And then we say, God, where are you? And he's like, well, you haven't been seeing Jesus as the Lamb of God. You haven't been in my presence at all. You got to fit. And again, let me get back to the statement, if I get it right. You can't experience Jesus without studying the Bible and digesting it. But it's got to lead to Jesus, or it's just a book. You got to think of John and Peter, fresh off the upper room, let's say. And they're going in Acts, early on in the book of Acts, they're going to the temple, and it's the gate beautiful. So you already know where I'm heading with this for some of you. And then there's a crippled man sitting there. And he's saying, hey, you got any money for me? And then John and Peter pull out the Torah, and they start reading scriptures. No. They were already in the presence of God, filled with the Holy Spirit at that time. And their first response was a spiritual response right now. And they said, we have no money, but in the mighty name of Jesus, get up and walk. That's the power of God. See, Jesus said this to the woman at the well. And we know it well. She had a lot going on. But Jesus spoke to her, met her where she was at. Many marriages, her life was upside down. But Jesus met her at the well where she was at. And she was basically going back and forth talking about religious things that is an exercise between the cultural, the ethnicity, and where they worship. And Jesus was basically saying, listen, in the future, I'm just looking for worshipers that worship in spirit, Holy Spirit, and in truth. Together is where the power of God will come onto it. In the end times, the battle is not the battle of value. There's a whole other message. And we'll get into Revelation. But the whole battle is where. What are you worshiping? That's the economy of the end times. What do you worship? Do you worship manna? Do you worship man? Do you worship the beast? Do you worship all this? Or are you ready to lay it all down and worship Christ Jesus King who's coming soon? And Jesus is saying spirit and in truth. We need to be part of spirit and in truth in our Christian growth. And then that's what will lead us into being disciples of Christ, expressions and experiences. Amen? He loves you so very much. Imagine being able to experience Jesus as much as the disciples did. The Holy Spirit's in you. You may not physically see him, but you know when the Holy Spirit's moving in you. There's peace that passes understanding. There's direction that you can't think of, and it's only him. And the presence of God, we've talked about this at the beginning of the year, leading us into this. as a church, that we begin to see and realize the awness, the majesty, and the fear of the Lord, because He's God, and then the beauty of Jesus. Those will mark you for your life. Can we stand? Thank you, Father. I wanted to recite this. We said we were going to do this earlier, at least once a month. I really feel it's important that we as a church proclaim a few things. And I wanted to do the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Would you do that with me today? I see a lot of nods, so we'll do it. And those online. So we're just going to go through this and repeat after me. But let me finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that during this time of last week and this week that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us, to know there's so much more depth of worshiping You in spirit and in truth. Jesus, we want Your expressions that are from the Father, but above all, too, we want to experiencing you more, God, than ever before through Your presence and through the Holy Spirit. Daily, let us invite that Holy Spirit into our lives to help us, guide us in truth, to comfort us if we need comfort, to bring the presence of God wherever we are at any time of a day, Lord. Thank You for being willing to meet with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Get to that. All right, Apostles' Creeds and Lord's Prayer. So I'm just going to read a few sentences and you read with me because we got to get out of here soon, right? No, I'm just kidding. All right. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who has conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried, and He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christ-led church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Hold those truths in You. Hold those truths. Lord, we want to pray what You taught us to pray in this scripture right now in Matthew 6, 9 through 12. After this manner, therefore pray. Ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debtors as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you don't know what to pray, pray that. Honoring our Father. Thank you for coming out today. I think it was a special time. Those joining us online, we'll be back Wednesday and Sunday. And again, if you have time this week, I would encourage you to read John 17, because there's a lot there and just learning as the expression of God into the experience of God. And you are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. We love you. Have a wonderful time. Travel safe. And go Patriots. Have a good day. Hey, how are you, Ray? Good to see you.
It's funny you started.